calls home.
Where he gonna call us and say, "I'm so glad you got here, bro. Tell you what, I think that's the wonderfulest thing that we can know that we have today. That we have the Lord.
Amen.
And our name is written down there in glory. And it's written there, I believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, where cannot be erased." I know the devil would love to try to erase it, but I'll tell you one thing, he can't erase it. Because it means if he erases it from there, you're going to have to erase it from my heart. That's one thing that I have, and that I have the assurance of. No one can rob me of that.
Amen.
Nobody can rob me of that. I reckon y'all want me to read this, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, is what is speaking about this time of year, the Independence Day, which that's what we're celebrating, and we're celebrating much more than that. But it's saying this Independence Day by Christine Clifford Brown, and said God has blessed this country in every way, allowing us freedom that we celebrate on the 4th of July, Independence Day. Freedom is costly. Many Americans have paid the ultimate price to make us and to keep us free. They gave their life. Our country is a melting pot filled with people of every race and creed. All they ask is the God-given right to live free. Americans blessed by God are not afraid to stand and fight. They believe that every person who desires to live free has that right. We're far from perfect. We've made many mistakes, and we'll make more. But as far as Americans are concerned, this land is worth fighting for. Our ancestors seeking religious freedom, came from all corners of the earth. They lived, fought, and died for this nation's birth. Where God is concerned, the color of a man's skin does not matter to him. Our children will only respect other races if we teach them the truth to them. Americans aren't just red, white, or black, but of many races. We cannot determine if they are Americans just by looking at their faces. Look to God, thanking Him for our country and His blessings and strength from above. Pray for the ability to look at all our people through the eyes of His infinite love. Remember those who died for our country and those who still protect us even today. The strength of our country is not in one man's hands. We are only strong when, with God's help, united we stand. When someone says, "Happy 4th of July," say thank you and tell them you're proud to be American too.
Amen.
And I am proud to be American.
Amen.
Even with everything that's wrong with this country.
Yeah.
There's no better place they have to live.
It's true of
Arkansas. That's right. But I tell you what, you know, if it wasn't for America, and if it wasn't for the founders of this country, came so far away, looking for a country, looking for a place, looking for the land where they could call home, and looking for a land where they could be able to worship the one and only true God. That's how America got started. That's where we got our freedom from them. Because they obeyed God. And God gave them the freedom. Today, so many people today, they don't want to think about this or that. They don't want to bring up the government. But you know something? I don't believe that we are true Christians unless we can speak up for government or speak against the government. Depends on the way it's going. I know that some people, they say it's too political. You need to keep it from the separation of church and state. How can you separate? How can you separate the church? How can you separate the religious freedom that we have from the government? You can't. You can't separate the two. And why they want to separate it, I believe right now in Washington, D.C., and even in the state house, and even in the city governments, I believe the Holy Spirit has brought conviction upon the individuals, and they don't know what to do. They don't understand who is touching their heart. That's the reason they're in such turmoil. But if they would just let loose and give God their heart, it can turn around. This country can turn around so fast, it'll make our heads swim. It really can. You know, I was thinking about today and what it represents. And basically during the night, I don't know if it was a dream or what, but I was thinking about it and pondering it. You know, we need to look at this country in a way like, and the only thing that I know of that we can look at it like, and where God can come in and do a change. And not just due to change within that one city, but within the whole country. It's like what happened down in Burlington. Burlington, North Carolina. No doubt. And y'all may get tired of me saying stuff about it, but I can't quit. Something about it stirred the people's hearts there in Burlington. And they didn't have to advertise. They didn't advertise on Facebook. They didn't advertise on the news, or they didn't advertise in the paper, stuff like that. They was having a revival. The only advertisement that they'd done, they came to church. And the only advertisement that they done was hit the altar. And they prayed to a God that could send that church a revival. I don't know about you, but I believe that church has had a revival. Because see, it just didn't stop right there at one little church. It's just spread it all across this country. People has come to Burlington, North Carolina, to hear something from God. Today, we don't have many people anymore that wants to come to church and come to a service where they can hear something from God. The one that's over everything. And that's what you call freedom. They had the freedom. They had independence to where they could go about. And where did the independence start at? Where did the freedom start at? At the foot of the cross. I believe when anybody comes to the come to the front, and I believe when they come and they pray at the altar, you don't have to come and bow. You can, if you can't come and stand, you can come to the front pew, the front of the church. We need to do that more and more. That's where it started. That's where the freedom started at for Burlington, North Carolina. And it just didn't stay. There's more people across this country knows about Burlington, North Carolina than they ever have before in their life. Why? Because they've come. They've come as far as west Texas. Some has come as far as way as the Midwest. People has drove. They have drove 24, 48 hours to get here. Why? Because they wanted to hear something from the Almighty God that they haven't heard in a long time. That's what we need. It's spread it over into Danville, into Virginia. It's just spread it around. But I want to think on that, what I've just said about the freedom and independence that Burlington, North Carolina has experienced once again. I believe they're experiencing the same thing that our founders experienced when they come and when they saw this land and said that this land is going to be the land for the free. This is going to be God's land. And I honestly believe that that's what it was all about. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it's talking about the judgment of Christ. Where the servant is not committed to men. Where the judgment of Christ is, the judgment of Christ teaches us that we should not be servants of no man. That we need to be, the only servant is a servant of Almighty God. But it says right here in the very first verse, let a man so account of us as of the ministry of Christ and steward of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Don, but with me, that's where it's supposed to be at 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I apologize. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All righty. Let me get thoughts back together. All righty. It's talking about the ministry and how honest we should be toward the ministry that God has so graciously allowed us to be a part of. We must be honest in it. We must tell people the truth, not sugarcoat it, not whitewash it, but we need to tell them the truth. We don't need to sidestep anything. We don't need to call a something a sin, this particular sin, by another name. Because God did not call it by another name. God called it by a particular name. And what God calls it is what we should call it. But it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, But we, having this treasure in earthly vessels, that the exceedingly of the power may be of God and not of us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the reading of thy word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the ability and the freedom that where we can read the precious word of God. And Father, we pray this morning for that fresh anointing from on high, God. Lord, that you may touch the individual. Touch me this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, we see right here where talking about men, and where men have come from and where they're going to. We see where it speaks of where man has turned a deaf ear unto God. Not only did he turn a deaf ear to God, but they've been blinded. They've been blinded by the truth. They've been blinded by their work that they need to do for the Lord. They've been blinded. And I don't know if I told you, I think sometime here back, that I was working on a message, and the Lord was trying to give me something to pin down to it, because I had a title for it, 2020 Vision and Walking Around Blind. How many is out here today has 2020 vision? We can see fine. We can see God's word fine. We can read God's word. I know that there's two people here that one is, I reckon he's legally blind, Brother Stamps. And Brother Charlie, he's losing his eyesight. But you know, one thing about it, in losing their eyesight, they can never lose the experience that they had with the Lord. They can never lose that experience. And that experience is not just here for today. It's for today and the day after. It's here with us each and every day. But 2020 vision and blind, walking around blind, there are multitudes of thousands of people. No doubt, down in Burlington, North Carolina, there was probably, talking about a thousand people. It must have been more than just a congregation there at New Hope Baptist Church. I'm sure some people there at New Hope Baptist Church, I'm sure that they were blinded by Satan and what the gospel is saying. And what the gospel wants them to do. But just think about this. They've had over as many as 5,000, almost 6,000 people in one night. You going to tell me that you had 5,000 and 6,000 people there that was Christians? that was doing everything that God wanted them to do, that they were obeying every step. In the way God wanted them to walk. That they said and spoke the things that God wanted them to speak. No. Mm-mm. I don't believe everyone in that church could say that either. But they was longing for something. And when you're longing for something, you're blinded to it. You've been blinded. You have got the tunnel vision, or whatever you want to call it. Like the old mule that a farmer would have. And when a farmer would take that mule and go out here and harness him up. Put the harness around his neck. And then when they put the bridle on, they just didn't have a bridle like a horse's got. Anytime they would have that mule or whatever there, would put them in any row to plow the corn or plow the tobacco, whatever they was plowing. And they needed to go in a straight row. What did they do? They put the bridle that had these little blinders on. And the blinders was, there was a bite that big. They'd be on each side. Why was it? So the mule that was doing the plowing could not be abstracted away from what he's supposed to do. He wouldn't be looking, he couldn't look to the right or couldn't look to the left. He had to look straight on. I believe that's why we as Christians, we fail. Because we are blinded to the fact. And the way we get blinded is when we take our eyes off of Jesus. Yes, we can be looking straight ahead. We can be following Jesus. But we got to realize too, if we look to the right, or if we look to the left, or if we go to the right or go to the left, we better make sure that Jesus is going the same way. So then if we're going to the right or we're going to the left, and if Jesus is going that way, what are we doing? We still got the blinders on. We're still looking to Jesus. We not always look to Him. Because He will never fail us. He has never failed me, but I have failed Him many, many times. But He's never failed me.
Our scripture that we've just read declares unto us that it is a work of Satan. Everything that we do, to where it will not bring glory and honor unto the Savior, it's the work of the devil. We need to be mindful that we are really following the devil. We are really blinded to what the devil wants us to do. You cannot fight the devil. I've had people tell me, say, well, I'm going to fight him. I'm going to fight him tooth and nail. I'm going to fight him all the way. If you try your best to fight the devil, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Because he's going to win the battle against you. But he cannot win the battle over Jesus.
If the devil wants to use us, then what we need to do, we need to say, God, I trusted you as my Savior. Now, in trusting you, I turned my whole life over to you. I know I cannot go up against the devil, because the devil knows this, the Bible, inside and out. He knows how to explain it better than I do. He knows how to explain it better than any professor, any theologian that he can ever explain it. But we cannot go up against him and say to him and say, well, I'm sorry, devil, but you are not going to do that. Only thing that we can do is let our spirit strive with someone else. Our spirit must bear witness with another individual. And we can tell that. I've been in situations and be talking to people and everything. And right at first, I could talk to them and, oh, they sound good. Oh, they go to church. They sing in a choir and they sing specials. They're at church on Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning for Sunday school. You know the reason they do that? They do that to kind of where we can put our trust in them. But we must remember one thing. We cannot put our total trust in no one else but the Lord. Because we don't know what that individual is going to say about us to somebody else. And one thing I know is I can go and I can tell Jesus everything about me. And he already knows everything about me. But I can go to him and I can tell him this and that and everything. Guess what? He's not going to turn around and come tell you about it. He's not going to tell nobody else. Because he tells me over in Luke, I believe it is, Luke and chapter 18, I think, where he's speaking to Peter there, and he's telling Peter, he says, Peter, I am praying for thee. Now, if the Lord is praying for me, I'm all right. If the Lord don't pray for me, I'm still all right, because I know my name is written there in heaven. It's written there in that one book, the B-O-O-K book, the Lamb of God. And it's where my name is written. I don't know if it's written down as Donald Mahan or... But I know when we all get to heaven, we'll all have a new name. But I do know this. If he says my name is written down because I'm one of his children, then my name is written down. It ain't no doubt about it. My name is written down. Whether an individual says, well, no, you can't, you don't know that or not. I've had people tell me, say, well, you don't know if you're saved or not. You don't know if you're going to heaven or not. I said, what? They said, yes. I said, you don't know if you're going to heaven. You don't know if you're going to be there or not. I said, well, back in
the second Monday night of August of 1980, around 7 o'clock, I had three individuals come to my house, and you wasn't one of the individuals. You won't die. How can you say that I don't know? They can't. They want to say, they want to be able to justify them on their own selves, to where they can wait as long as they want to wait. Sometimes the Lord's not going to wait all that long. Tells us in His Word that His Spirit will not always strive with ours. He will not always look to us for salvation. He will not always look to where we can receive His salvation. And that is talking, speaking about working out the salvation. We work, and I work, and I go out here and I visit, and I do that because I am saved. I don't do it for salvation. I do it because I am saved. I do it because I'm supposed to pick up the cross that He was bearing for me. That's what I'm supposed to do. But you'll have some people say, well, preacher says, you know,
I understand as far as what the Bible says. The Bible teaches that the pastor needs to pray. The pastor needs to seek God's will for the message. Make sure he's got the message that God wants preached. I said, you're right, he does. I said, but even though all of that, God does not give me the right not to go out here and labor for Him and be one of His servants. Because I became His servant when I was saved. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Blinded, we're blinded by the goodness of God. We really don't understand what the goodness of God is all about. But see, Satan, he will blind us from it. He will blind us from the goodness of God. God's mercies are extended to us every day of our lives. You can find that in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23. The second one here is where Satan blinds men and women, or men and ladies. Well, Satan blinds Christians also to the spiritual condition. You know, if we don't know anything about our spiritual condition, if we don't know that we are can determine between a truth and a lie, we've been lied to. We've been lied to. If I cannot tell the difference in what this Bible says and what somebody else may say, if I cannot determine the truth between the two, what am I? I'm a hypocrite. I'm ignorant. That's what God's word says. I'm a hypocrite. Why? Because I profess to be something that I'm not. I don't think a true Christian, that's been born again, where the name is written there in glory, I just do not believe that they can know about the spiritual conditions of the life. You say, you don't know what God wants you to do for your life. If I don't know, who else knows? God had a certain calling, something certain for me to do. He placed that upon me. He didn't place that upon my wife, upon my daughter, upon my parents, upon the other Christians that I was around and fellowshipping with. No, He spoke to me. That was the spiritual condition. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the condition that He's allowed the lost man to be able to see one day. When you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, what then is the condition of the lost man before God? We can see that in Romans 3:23. He's a sinner. That's what I was. I was a sinner. S-I-N-N-E-R. I was a sinner. But then after I became a Christian, after I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, then when I committed sin, it become S-I-N-S. Sins. I mean sin, S-I-N. But the S-I-N-S is when I was lost. Because He forgave me of all my sins. He forgave them from the day that I was birthed into this world. That very moment that I came from my mother's womb and I took the breath of air, from that day forward, He's forgiven me. For all of this sin, that's the past sin. Not only did He forgive me for my past sins, but He's forgave me for my present sin. And then He also forgave me for my future sin. You say, well, preacher, you mean you're going to sin next month? Well, I'll say this. If I still got this right here hanging on these bones, yeah. This flesh, this outward man is not saved. This outward man is just as lost and probably more lost than he was before. The only thing to save is the spiritual man, the inner man. And I thank God for that. I thank God that He didn't say, well, Brother Donnie, you know, if you don't do right this coming week, you know, I'm going to have to kind of erase your name out. in the Lamb's Book of Life. Man, just let's ponder on that for a minute, then I'm going to close. Say if he done that, every time that we done something wrong and against him, he would take his heavenly eraser and erase our names from the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to take myself as for instance. I would look at it this way. I'd go back. I said, well, I'm going to go back for the last 30 days. I'm going to look. How many times did I erase his name last month? And how many days did I write his name back down? We need to think about that. That we live in a different time frame. His time is not our time. Our time is not his time. He has his own time. What does it say in the word? It says 1,000 years is like unto one day. 1,000 years to me and you is like one day to him. I would be sorry to say that would be if it was me writing someone's name in or writing my own name in, and then when something happened and I sin, I'd erase it. I believe I'd get to the point probably after the first 2 or 3 days. I swear, I tell you one thing, there's no need me writing it back in. No need me writing it back in, because I know I'm going to have to erase it again sometime today, sometime tomorrow. That's people that do not believe in eternal security. I believe in eternal security. I believe in a God that I serve is strong enough to keep me safe. And he's strong enough to where he can help me along the way. And I thank God for that, because I don't know what in the world I would do if I had to go out here and depend on what a whole lot of preachers is out here preaching today. You'd be surprised at the churches that we have right here in the city of Danville that do not believe, and where we have the pastors and that do not believe in eternal security. They won't never preach on it. They won't preach against it. And they won't preach for it. Why? Because of one reason. They're looking to fill their wallets up. They're looking to build up their bank account, because they know down deep in their heart, they got to know down deep in that heart, that's the only thing that they're going to have if the Lord happened to come back.
a preacher that did not believe in eternal security, why would I want to go come and hear him on Sunday morning, Sunday night or Wednesday night? I don't know. I don't know if he didn't maybe get upset with his wife that morning. I don't know if he got so upset he told him to just shut up and don't say nothing else and just come on and go. I don't know that. I don't know that he hadn't sinned that day. I do know one thing, what God's word said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all sinned today, yesterday, the past. We're going to sin today, this evening, tomorrow, and we're going to sin from he carries us home. But that still does not give us the right to tell someone else that we're a Christian and we're following God. If we're a Christian and we're supposed to be following God, then that's what we're supposed to be doing, following God. Not supposed to be following man. Because man's going to let me down. I'm going to let you down. I wouldn't do it intentionally, no. But I'm human. I make mistakes. There's not but one that has ever walked on this God-given earth that was not perfect. He was so mature in the Lord. He was so mature about what God wanted him to do that he done it all. Every bit of it. He didn't waver from it at all. They even told him when he was on the cross, you say that you're God, you say that you're the Messiah, you come down from the cross. You prove yourself. No, that's not the reason he came to the cross, to prove to other people that he was a Messiah. No, he went to the cross because of the people. He went to the cross because of each one of us. Each one of us.
We've been blinded on every side. We have been blinded to the point that we don't even know which way to go. We don't know if we're coming or going. We don't know if we're getting up or laying down. We don't know what we'll do. But I will say this.
If you love God and if you are a believer in God, you're going to want to do everything that He wants you to do. I know sometimes we, as far as our bodies, they're getting and a shape of what we can't do. We can't go. But you can tell you what? We have still got prayer. We still have prayer. And prayer is the most powerful. That an individual can have. Amen. If he has a good prayer life, a dedicated prayer life. We need to have a dedicated prayer life unto God. This church needs to have a dedicated prayer. We need to. On Wednesday evening, I noticed that what little time that we have, we don't have an hour here on Wednesday. But we spend more time in singing than that we do pray. We spend more time in just reading God's Word, not preaching it, but just reading it. If it's two verses, we spend more time in them two verses than we do in prayer. That's the reason I believe the churches all around us are in the condition and in the shape it's in, is because we done lost our prayer life. We don't know how to pray anymore. We don't know how to pray in church anymore. What do? We'll come to church and yes, and we'll take up requests and everything of the sick. And that's good. But we need more than 5 minutes of prayer. We do. Wednesday night is prayer meeting night. What's happened? We've got away from it. Not just maybe here, but every last one of the churches. Oh, the Christian has got away from prayer. That's the reason we don't have the power in God's house anymore. Because of the prayer life that the church has. Oh yes, we can be at home and we can pray. And I thank God for y'all praying for me. I hear your prayer. I can feel your prayer. And I thank you for that. But we need to have a prayer life as a whole, as a body of Christ. That's what we are, a body of Christ. We need to have a prayer life at church. Well, we don't have to just wait until the invitation time comes. We need to start having a prayer life here at the church. We want to turn the church around. If we want to see people come in, we want to see people saved. We want to see the church grow. We're going to have to change that. We're going to have to change our prayer life. Hey, I'm just in need of that as you are, or somebody else. But I need it. I need it more every day. Because every day that we live, the worst and worst is coming our way. We can't face tomorrow by ourselves. The only way we can face it with our prayer life. That God allow us to be strong enough to live a Christian life, to where people can see it in our lives. I was going somewhere, I forgot who it was. Nancy said it, but and I think it was at Sam's. And I just overheard two or three people over there talking, and which and I went into conversation. But one of them said this. Says, you know, I can tell that you're a Christian. I can tell that you love God. And I can tell that you do have a prayer life. He said, because an individual that doesn't have all three of them They cannot have the smile and the countenance that they have on the face like you have. And I'm just not saying that to you to kind of puff you up. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I don't think I am. I'm a good judge of character. That right there means. I mean, if somebody come to me and said that right there would mean the world to me. It would make me want to go home and pray. It would make me want to just say, well, I'm going down to the church and I'm going to just get on the altar and I'm going to stay there and pray and I'm going to pray and I'm going to pray. Because I need it. That I can live the life that they would think that I was living. That I could live closer to it. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, we just ask God that you'll just go with us. And Father, for the message this morning, Lord, I know, Father, for a fact that I needed the message also. And Lord, and you've spoken to my heart about some things. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll just help me with it. Father, we just pray, God, that you will just continue to be with Faith Baptist Church. Continue to be with each and every one of the individuals here. Father, I pray for each one of them. I lift Brother Stamps up to you today. Father, that you would be with him this week. And Father, for Sister Huff, Lord, we just ask, Lord, you'll be with her. Father, this week, and Father and Sister Betty, Lord, we just thank you for her, and we ask God you continue to bless her. Father, do something within our life, Lord. I pray, Father, you'll touch her body. And Father, we pray, Lord, for Sister Donna today. We ask, Lord God, that you just help her. That, Father, that she will follow thy leadership. And Father, we pray, Lord, for Sister Nancy. Oh, Lord God, we pray, Father, for her and her family. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with her. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that her children may be able to see something, may be able to experience something they've been a long time that they have experienced themselves. Father, that they would draw them back to the house of the Lord. Father, I pray for my wife, Lord. Oh God, that you will continue to be with her. And Father, continue, Father, to where she can be my helpmate, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for her. Father, for Brother Jimmy. God, I pray, Father, you'll touch his body. Father, give him strength, and Father, he may do what you asked him to do this week. And Father, for Brother Bill, Lord, we ask God and Father that you will just speak to his heart. Lord, help him each and every week. Father, he stands before the people and teaches Sunday school. Lord, he's doing a good job, and Father, we just thank you for that. But most of all, Lord Jesus, we thank you. Father, that you allowed me the privilege and the honor to come here to Faith Baptist Church and to serve here as our pastor. And Father, I pray, God, that you'll help me. Lord, that I will never be disappointed in thee. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that I can look after the flock, Lord, that you've given me. But most of all, Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done so many years ago. Thank you for your love.
where you first loved us, that we could experience your love. We could be able to share your love through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.